thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Will T, Wally, Ray Jesus out. So you know what time it is. You know what kind of show this is. This is a show of darkness. Darkness is. Chocolate. No light brights. What's up, Will T?
Nothing much. How you feeling, brother?
I'm good, man. Well, good as you can be, man. You know, growing up as a diehard skin fan, I don't think it's ever been as low as a fan of the team.
I've already told you multiple times, how can you support dysfunction? Why do you support dysfunction?
When you're a diehard fan, you're a diehard fan. Some people have that fandom. What does the fan stand for?
Fanatic.
Exactly.
I don't understand that. At this point in my life, you know, I have an attachment to sports. That's why I like to do this show.
Yeah.
I'm obviously a fan of sports, but to be, you know, emotionally distraught because of my team's performance or, you know, allow it to affect me emotionally, it just doesn't do it.
It doesn't affect me anymore. It used to, but it doesn't affect me anymore. I mean, in terms of when you watch it, you watch a team that you grew up watching. And we'll talk about it later, when we start with the outcome of the game. But it used to affect me, but now I'm kind of like numb to it. It doesn't like impact like my whole life or any aspect of my life. Like I used to be like, oh man, they lost. I woke up like, oh, they lost. I don't care anymore.
It does, because you won't even come out and watch a game.
I'm at the game.
when they aren't at home.
I'm at church. Okay. I haven't really, like you're talking about this season. They had how many home games? They had two home games and one road game. Yeah. And the road game they played where? Who did they play? Who was the road game against?
Philadelphia.
The first game, I was at church. I missed like 30 minutes of the game. And I had to tape it and watch those 30 minutes. So, yeah. Again, it doesn't impact me. Like, these games don't impact me like it used to.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Will T.
Let's get into our tradition of pregame.
Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Washington Redskins losing to the Chicago Bears 31-15.
Losers.
At 8:20, we'll preview the Skins-Giants game. At 8:30, we'll talk about who should start for the Nats in a one-game NL playoff, wildcard playoff. At 8:40, we'll make our Week 4 NFL picks. Finally, at 8:50, we'll talk about the big welterweight showdown Saturday between Errol Spence Jr. and Sean Showtime Porter. All right, but first, the Washington Redskins fell to the Chicago Bears 31-15. Will T, what were your thoughts of that game?
My prediction went wrong.
I know, bro.
Terribly wrong.
What did I
say? Terribly wrong.
Dude, I told you, right? Ray and I told you. Like,
you did. Mm-hmm. You did. The defense looked like the monsters of the Midway back in the 80s.
Oh, Chicago.
Yeah, man. Khalil Mack was coming off the corner. He was a terror. Why you decided to put Vernon Davis, Vernon Davis to block him one-on-one.
Or Chris Thompson to chip block him.
Yeah, it's a mystery to me. That goes to just, you know, coaching and execution.
Mm-hmm.
Case Keenum had his worst game. Yeah. As a
Five turnovers.
Mm-hmm. Could potentially have been six.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe that you give up on Case Keenum just yet. It's only three games in. I just don't believe that you give up on him just yet.
This game, Case was a problem. This is his worst game out of the three. His last two games were, to me, he was good. He wasn't great, but he was good. This was a bad game for Case Keenum. You know, the last play culminating, I mean, his entire night where he tried to, I'm trying just in terms of his mental ability as a football player, as a quarterback, to try to do a dive atop of a pile on a 4th-and-1, which is not a goal line. Like a goal line situation, that makes sense, but doesn't make any sense to do it in the fourth quarter when your team is driving, trying to make a comeback, and it's a quarterback sneak being called, and you're trying to do it, you know, jump over like you're Cam Newton or whatever, and you're not Cam Newton, and you're trying to jump over to extend for a first down, but it's not the goal line. You know what I mean? Like, that, you're putting the ball at risk. That's like, that makes no sense.
That's just not something a veteran quarterback could do.
Even a rookie quarterback. I remember watching it, and I was like, I scratched my head. I was like, did he just do that? And I'm thinking to myself, like, this is not, it's not fourth and goal. Because at least all you got to do when you're in that situation is put all the ball has to do is hold the goal in the plane.
The ball just has to break the plane.
Yeah, and that's it. You know what I mean? So, but he struggled. The Redskins defense, again, gave up 30-plus points. I mean, you could take away the ha-ha Clinton Dix pick six, but it's still 30 points.
It's still 30 points, but I will say this. But because of all of the turnovers, he didn't do, that defense was put at a disadvantage.
Oh, yeah, of course.
They were put in a but they also still blew a lot of coverages.
Yeah, blew a lot of coverages. Norman got beat again, got beat by Gabriel. At times, Trubisky had a lot of time in the pocket. Ray was texting us saying, again, bring a four-man pressure, no pressure at all. Again, a lot of the same issues that we saw in week one, week two. Like, I agree with you, Will T. The offense put the defense in a bad situation many times that night. But at the same time, your defense has to step up. Especially against an offense that's been inept for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, Mitch Trubisky, I don't want to call him by the incorrect name. Mitch Trubisky, he looked like Mitch Trubisky from last year. You know, the first two games, he looked woeful.
Yeah.
He looked as if, you know, what the hell was he doing?
Yeah, uh-huh.
You know, he looked like he was confused. But all it takes is a visit to FedEx Field and against the Washington defense to turn your season around.
Yeah, it's called a feel-good team. You know what I mean? It's like if you're not doing too well, sometimes you just need that feel-good squad or that feel-good moment. And the Skins for Mitch Trubisky was that team. You know, you see it all the time, man. Minuski doesn't bring a lot of pressure. Play the same way. You mentioned people running open. Again, miscommunication in the secondary. This has been going on since this whole regime has came to D.C.
I don't know if it was I think it was the second Taylor Gabriel touchdown pass, you know, where they had most of the Bears sprinting right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He came back across the formation, and he was wide open.
Yeah, you're talking about, I think he got Bostic on him back. Yeah, Bostic. Why put, again, in that situation, and not saying that, it looked like it was miscommunication, but why even have Bostic in that situation? You know what I mean? Like, an inside linebacker checking Taylor Gabriel, who has tremendous speed. Does that make any sense?
Doesn't make any sense at all, man.
You coach basketball. You know, sometimes your job as a coach is to simplify. If your team can't handle certain things, simplify.
Your job as a coach is to put your players
exactly
in the best position
exactly
to win and to simplify the game plan. At times, you give them the answer.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to call a timeout and you got to give them the answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
give them what they can handle. Yeah.
With the defense being matched up against certain offensive formations, it looked as if no one from the from a coaching perspective, gave anyone the answers how to, you know, things to key, things to look out for, formations. You know, look, they have a tendency to do this out of this formation. It was just a very pitiful and woeful and quite frank, an embarrassing performance.
It was embarrassing. Night. Monday night, another Monday night stinker. The Redskins gave up another, like I mentioned, another 30-plus point game. One was, again, ha-ha Clinton Dix had that pick six. Is this issue coaching or players? Here is what Skins D lineman Jonathan Allen had to say.
The first position. If we don't make the play, so be it. I've never seen a coach win us a game. I've never seen a coach win a game. Look at the best team in the football right now, New England Patriots. Players still got to go out and play the game. Coach can do all they want to. If the player don't execute, it really doesn't matter.
As a leader, what can you say to the defensive
team? And I got to look at myself. It's easy to point the finger right now. It's easy. Anybody can do that. So, but I'm going to look at myself, and we're going to grind.
John, what did you say to these guys at halftime? What was said in here at halftime that at least turned around a little bit for you guys?
One play at a time. One play at a time. That's all you can do. That's all football is. One play at a time. You're not going to come back from down 28-3 in one play. Play hard. Play for your pride. Play for your job. I got a family to feed. So does everybody else in here. Play for them. So.
That's Jonathan Allen, Skins D lineman. Yeah, I mean, players play. I get what Jonathan Allen is saying. You know, it's your responsibility. But at the same time, man, your coach has got to put you in a position to be successful. And you know, good for that young man to, you know, try to show leadership, saying, like, even him, he got to step up. But at the same time, man, you know, like Will mentioned, this team having miscommunication throughout – I mean, for the last couple of seasons, it's got to be coaching, right? To a certain extent, like make it easy.
Maybe it's not just coaching, it's culture, right? Mm-hmm. We saw, and the perfect example is a guy who was very boisterous last season, DJ Swearingen,
yeah.
who called out coaches and also called out players on, I believe, 3 occasions,
yeah.
was cut, was let go.
Yeah. He's struggling, though, now.
He's struggling. Yes, he is struggling. But when you have guys that will police, you know, will police themselves and police the locker room and demand accountability, not just from their teammates, but also from their coaches,
mm-hmm.
you decide to let those type of guys go. So what type of, so back to culture, what type of culture are you incubating over in Ashburn and down the street in Landover?
Well, to me, it's lax. It's got to be a lax situation because no one's held accountable, right? People mess up all the time. And like, for instance, you mentioned DJ Swearinger. He mouthed off how many times? Like, he's like, you mentioned 3 times, right? He still had a job for, like, you know, before the third time. But why didn't you bench him? If you know what I mean, like if he's speaking reckless, I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm talking about as a coach. If he's crapping on you as a coach and what you do and what your regime is doing, a strong minded coach, wouldn't they just bench him? Bill Belichick wouldn't take it.
Well, I agree to you to some extent, right?
Mm-hmm.
If a guy is calling himself out and his coach, you know, and the coaches.
Yeah.
I don't know if you bench him. I think you definitely have a conversation with him.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to create a culture where guys can't speak, you know,
can't speak their mind
to an extent.
To an extent. That's
when
I mean,
it's not disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
Did DJ Swearinger cross the line once too many, maybe 3 times? Possible.
Yeah.
But someone needs to get his team a kick in the pants, man.
Yeah.
It's borderline, like I said, that effort yesterday was borderline embarrassing. Monday night at your own home against a team that came off 2 less than impressive showings the first 2 weeks of the season.
Mm-hmm.
It's embarrassing.
No, it definitely was embarrassing. And, you know, Jay has to step up. The coaching staff and the players. I mean, to Jonathan Allen's point, players got to step up too. I'm not going to take that away, but I think they could play better if they're put in a situation to succeed. I'm on defense. What was more of the problem Monday night? The players or the coaches? And I'm going to open this question up to our listeners. You can call 301-799-5407. You can tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. You can hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. We have these questions posted as well on our social media sites. But on Twitter, Adam tweeted, "It's time to make a change with this coaching staff. Good teams learn from their mistakes, but Gruden and Minuski just compound them and get worse. Never been a fan of it. In-season firings, but this can get way worse if they do nothing. # KOC for HC, which is O'Connell, the offensive coordinator for head coach, and fire Minuski. # fire Minuski.
You know, I guess it goes to this. What has Kevin O'Connell shown as an offensive coordinator that gives you great confidence that he's the right guy for this coach?
You know, he's trying. The guy on ESPN, I'm gonna have Riddick.
Riddick
he's quite favorable of him. He says that he's talked to people and everyone believes that O'Connell could be a head coach, will be the next young up and coming head coach.
Well, I'll say this. If this organization has a problem with recognizing talent and retaining that talent, you think about people that were once in this building.
Sean McVay,
Kyle Shanahan,
LaFleur,
then also in the front office, John Schneider, who's the GM for the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
He was once in this
mm-hmm.
building.
Mm-hmm.
So this team, this organization
mm-hmm.
has a problem with identifying top talent and retaining that top talent.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm Kevin, you know, O'Connell,
O'Connell.
Why? I'm pretty sure he's inside that building and he sees some of the dysfunction. And I don't know because I'm not in the building, so I don't know if it's dysfunction. I only know what manifests itself on the field. So there looks like there's a lot of confusion behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a power struggle. Maybe there's guys who aren't buying into the program. But why would you want to be a part of that?
It just seems that if Jay is fired, he's going to be like O'Connell is going to be the interim. That's the word. That's the rumor. He's young and he wants a head coaching job. Just like most folks, they'll take whatever if you give them. They're young and up. They're young.
But
he may not want
to. I get it. But why ruin your reputation on an organization that hasn't shown that they're all headed in one direction?
Yeah.
And they're willing, you know, and there's a buy-in from top to bottom on a winning culture. Why do that?
Because it's so hard to be a head coach, man.
Regardless. It is, but if you believe in yourself,
no, I mean,
I wouldn't attach myself to a dysfunctional situation.
I think you're overthinking it. Young coaches take every, like Jay Gruden. I mean, just be, like to be real with you. Let's use Jay Gruden's example.
No, let's look at the offense coordinator in New England.
McDaniels.
Josh McDaniels.
Yeah.
He had an opportunity to go to Indianapolis. If anyone pays attention to Indianapolis, mm-hmm. the owner.
He's something else.
So you know, he had an opportunity. He said, "Look, I'm going to wait until a better opportunity arises."
But has he ever been a head coach?
Yes, he has. He's been one in Denver.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Denver. That's what I'm saying. Like he's been a head coach. I'm talking about for your first gig. Chances are, to be honest with you, you're going to take the job that's really offered to you for your first gig. Now, you know, New England has a lot of weight. So he's going to always. On demand, especially playing with Brady, and even like you know, because at first coming from Denver, it was like okay, he didn't do what they thought he was going to do. Came back to New England, Brady and him were instant magic. Now his resume goes back up.
Well, okay, I'll give you another example: Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan. There were a lot of overtures for him to be a head coach. Now I don't know if those teams. I don't know if he. Now, the word is he rejected some of those opportunities until he came across an opportunity he felt comfortable with because he had a belief in himself as a head coach. And he wanted to put himself in a position, in a situation where he thought that he can align with the GM that gives him the most success going forward.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm Kevin O'Connell, I've been in that organization for, what, four or five years?
Mm-hmm.
And you get to see, you know, kind of the sausage making. Why would you want to be around?
Because I think they show a lot of love for him. He has a lot of love. Let's put it this way, without going on in detail, there's a lot of love for O'Connell. He appreciates the love.
Okay.
I could put it that way. He appreciates the love. And they moved him up pretty, you know, they promoted him to OC with the intent and wanting him to call plays. And Jay's trying to hold on to calling plays. So
well, then,
there's fighting within. I put it that way. There's a lot of fighting within.
I mean, you're the media. You would know.
The Skins have Daniel Jones and the New York Giants up next. Should Haskins be playing? We'll discuss that after the break. Listen to Urban Sports. Urban Sports thing. Score now. You can do
for
it.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T and myself, Wally. We call this team Darkness. You know what I'm saying? Real people do real things. All right, the Skins have the New York Giants next. Rookie quarterback Daniel Jones led the Giants to their first victory last week with him playing so well and Case Keenum playing so horribly on Monday night. Should Gruden consider giving Redskins rookie QB Dwayne Haskins the start against the Giants?
Absolutely not. And I'm going to tell you why he should.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with Dwayne Haskins. Mm-hmm. It has everything to do with the coach.
Okay.
Jay Gruden has shown that he is not going to make changes in this offense to make whoever is under center comfortable.
I like your very good point.
Jay Gruden has he's one of those coaches who believes in his system. He wants his system ran a certain way. Now, if you are Jay Gruden and you aren't going to acquiesce to the strengths of Dwayne Haskins at this point in his progression,
mm-hmm.
I think you go with Case Keenum and you wait until maybe after the fifth game, after New England,
mm-hmm.
to go with Dwayne Haskins.
Miami.
Yeah.
If he's still here.
That's if he's still here. Yeah. And, you know, we also don't know for a fact if upper management is pressing for him to play Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But we've shown that Jay Gruden wants his system ran his way. When RG3 was here, you know, the prior coaching staff, they made changes. They made certain changes to make sure RG3 was successful. Then RG3 thought that he was a classic dropback quarterback, and that's when we had the problems, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jay Gruden doesn't seem to me, from you know everything I hear and what I see during the game, he's not going to change up his offense just to accommodate a quarterback. So or do the things that Dwayne Haskins does best at this time. So. No, I think you go with Case Keenum. You ride out with him until his adopted son Colt McCoy comes back.
I agree. If you're listening and you want to respond to the question, you can call 301-799-5407. You can tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. On Facebook, George posted, "Do you really want to put a rookie QB behind that offensive line?" Actually, and I mentioned this on Facebook, actually, the Skins' offensive line, considering that the three teams they played, hasn't been bad, like, as bad as people thought it would be.
No.
Yeah, they gave up two sacks combined to the Eagles and Cowboys, right? That's not bad. But the Bears, yeah. I mean, Mac went ham. I mean, the Bears, I believe, had 4.5 sacks or something like that. The Bears won him. And you're going against Khalil Mack. Let's just call it what it is. Khalil Mack is one of the best players ever. Like, one of the best players in this league, period, by far. And is almost like a Reggie White type of player. Like,
yeah,
not, you know what I mean? Like, caliber.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that.
Yeah,
Reggie was great.
He's definitely – this guy was a legend. Derek Thomas.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's in that vein of pass rusher from you know the outside mm-hmm. linebacker from the outside linebacker position.
No, so yeah, I don't think the Redskins O line is like the worst thing in the world. There's worse in the NFL.
There's definitely worse.
Yeah.
But this team's inability to get a run game going is baffling to me. You have Bill Callahan, who is
an offensive line guru.
Yeah, offensive line guru. He was in Dallas previously, and you saw what he did with that run game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he coached. He was the head coach in Oakland for a while after John Gruden left, and we saw what he was able to do with a run game in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
It's puzzling to me. I'm beginning to believe that. You know, if a guy like Bill Callahan has had success with his run game everywhere he's gone, then you come here.
What's the problem?
I think I know what the problem is.
You know
I think it's the head coach.
Of course. The head coach has a particular passing style he likes.
And a particular run game he likes.
And his run game was not that efficient like it could have been, should have been with the Cincinnati Bengals at times. And you have that same issue here in DC with Adrian Peterson. But see, my thing about go ahead.
Maybe I'm wrong about this. You go to the games, you watch the games a lot. Like I said, I'll admit I don't watch as much football as I used to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But to me, it seems as if the style of the run game is different from last year than it has been.
It seems like that to me.
In the first three games
AP,
of the season,
AP. I feel like. I think it's different to a certain extent, but I feel like the the plan to run was more efficient, and like it was definitely a staple of the game plan. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to run the ball, Adrian Peterson, 20 times, and that's how we're going to win games. Like, that was pretty much the formula to help them win games, right? Because they didn't believe, maybe Jay didn't believe, to be honest with you, maybe Jay didn't believe in Alex. Maybe he saw what he needed to see in Alex, and he was like, you know what, you're not going to give me the passing yards that I need for my offense to do well. And I think he looks at Case and maybe, you know what, you can throw for 300 some odd yards consistently, right? So I don't have to get a ball to AP like that. We can get downfield, right? Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, what's happening with that? Like, this is one thing that Alex Smith wasn't valued enough about. He didn't turn the ball over.
Nope.
You know, he you know what I'm saying? He didn't win you games, but he didn't lose you games.
Yeah, I mean, you heard a lot of people complaining last year about Alex
Smith. Yeah.
And, you know, I was, you know.
Yeah.
I had my criticisms of him, mm-hmm. but he, like you said, he didn't lose you games.
He didn't lose you games.
He made the smart play.
Exactly.
All times.
And Case, to your point about Adrian Peterson, is that he's not being utilized. Because Adrian Peterson, we've seen it before. Like, he's the type of dude, you know, he needs to get a rhythm. You guys keep feeding the beast, right? Keep feeding him. Because in the beginning of the game against the Bears, it looked like he had a rhythm. Then all of a sudden, they stopped running the ball. Then it was like, all right, he couldn't get his rhythm anymore. And especially, again, when you're playing against a pass rush like the Chicago Bears, like, you want to run the football. You want to try to cripple that pass rush, right? So you want to run the football. You want to make them aware that, you know what, we're going to consistently try to run the football. But, and back to the question about, you know, Dwayne Haskins, I'm like this. They're the Giants. Not the greatest pass rush in the world. I mean, yeah, the Miami game would be great to play him. Don't get me wrong. But you can give him two games in between. You can give him the Patriots game. It is what it is. Let's just keep that a buck. It is what it is. But you can get him the Giants, and then after the Patriots, you can give Miami. You can give him two out of three games an opportunity to be successful.
True.
If you coach it right. But, you know, I never thought
about that's your point. The key thing is if you coach it right.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anyone who's watched this team,
mm-hmm.
at least a quarter of this team play, a quarter in a game of this team play, that thinks Jay Gruden will put him in a position to be successful.
I think your point was excellent. I didn't think about, you know, Gruden, you know, working the system correctly to a point that would benefit Dwayne, because that's important. You got a coach to help Dwayne, but, you know, help put Dwayne in a situation to be successful. You listen to Urban Sports Scene. So what are your keys to a Skins victory against the Giants? And give me your prediction.
Keys. Wow. You got to confuse Daniel Jones on defense, right? Give him multiple looks. Give him things he's not accustomed to seeing. You have 1 week of tape on him. Then you have tape on him from college. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure this team is familiar with Daniel Jones,
because
I'm sure they scouted him,
mm-hmm.
if they were looking, you know, for a quarterback during the draft. I think that's one. Two, the Giants really don't have a lot of weapons.
Because Saquon's out.
Mm-hmm. You know, you have Evan Ingram.
Yeah.
And then you have Shepard. Sterling Shepard.
Mm-hmm.
Golden Tate is out. He most likely won't play.
Yeah.
You take those two guys away and you let everyone else beat you.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think it's that hard. You know, if Josh Norman is the lockdown corner that
he lost a step. Josh lost.
You know, if he's the lockdown corner that we all think, or that, you know, he still thinks he is, and, you know, he wants to be viewed as, mm-hmm. this is the game where you say, give me Sterling Shepard.
Yeah.
I'm going to lock him down. You guys double Evan Ingram, and then we make Daniel Jones go through his reads and his progressions, and mm-hmm. we make someone else beat us.
That's Minuski's going to have to come up with that plan. He's got to be willing to do that. And it doesn't seem like he's willing to do it. But give me your prediction.
Last week on this show, I said at this time, you know, the week after this one, we'll be talking about Washington will be 2-2.
And yeah.
Everything will be A-OK. Look, this Giants team has nothing.
Yeah.
Has nothing offensively. Defensively, they don't have any guys in the front seven that you have to game plan for. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take Washington.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with you. I'm gonna take this game. I'm gonna actually take Washington. The only reason I'm taking Washington is because Saquon Barkley's out. The only reason is because if Saquon was in, I would be taking the Giants. I won't even lie to you. In a one game playoff, who should the Nats start? We'll discuss that after the break. Listen to Urban Sports Zone.
For ages.
You did.
Deuce. My bad. I'm watching the game, man.
I got loyalty inside my DNA. Quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though, ambition, flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, and sworn like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, which yells you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your head. This that put the kids to bed. This that I got realness, I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Team Darkness, Will T, Wally, Ray Jeezy's out. The Nats are in a comfortable position to get the one of the two wild card spots. The magic number to clinch for the Washington Nationals is two games after beating the Philadelphia Phillies in a doubleheader. The first of the doubleheader, 4-1, right?
Yep.
4-1. So, looking at that situation, who should be the starting pitcher for the Washington Nationals if they had that one game playoff?
Who should be? I would say, just based off of their track record, I'm going to go with Steven Strasburg.
Mm-hmm.
Since Max Scherzer has come back from his back injury or back tightness, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't been that Max Scherzer that can rear back and really bring the heat like he had been in the first half of the mm-hmm. season.
Or hit his spots. Yeah.
As he has during his career.
Mm-hmm.
Steven Strasburg has been consistent throughout this season. Not only that, he's been healthy, and we've seen him in big playoff spots where the moment wasn't too big for him. Max Scherzer, since he's come back off the come back from injured reserve, we've seen that he's given up big home runs within the first four innings
mm-hmm.
of just about all of his starts.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to go, you know, in a one game playoff with a team that has this history in the playoffs, whether it's on the road or at home. You don't want a guy that's going to give up those big home runs in the first four innings. You want a guy that's going to give you an opportunity throughout and give you a quality start. So that's why I think you go with Steven Strasburg.
Yeah, I think you have excellent points. I think you go with Steven Strasburg to the points that you just made. Max right now is struggling. He's giving up runs early. And you don't want in a pressure situation with their past. And also to add this element to it, a bad bullpen. And you may not – a bad bullpen – and you may not – you're probably going to play some of your starters anyway in that situation, but there's a lot of pressure putting starters in that situation with their starters and playing them as relievers. You want to get a guy in that game who can give you seven strong innings or more, seven strong innings or more. And Strauss has been that type of guy for you. One thing Strauss has done in a couple games, he's had a little spotty outings in terms of his pitch count, but he has given you innings. He has eaten innings for you. Same as Corbin. Corbin has eaten innings too, but Strauss has been your consistent number one. He's been dominant for many parts of this season. He's a Cy Young candidate. So I would go with Strauss. And Will T mentioned the playoff game that comes to mind is against the Cubs. That Cubs game where everyone, they ripped Strauss off because, he had that I was sick, I couldn't pitch the prior game type of thing. And everyone was writing Strauss off. Like, he's soft, he's this and that. A game you needed him. You needed Strauss. And he can't not just pitch well, he dominated. Like, one of the best pitching performances you're going to see in Wrigley in a long time. So, I'm with you, Will. I think Strauss has the temperament to pitch in that type of game because at the end of the day, he's not shaken by the moment. You know, he may get hit, but he's not shaken by the moment, because he's a focused individual when he's on that mound. But yeah, I'm for Strauss definitely, you know, being the starting pitcher. I mean, if it plays out that way. So if you are listening to the show and you want to respond to the question, call in. The number is 301-799-5407. You can tweet us at Urban Sports Scene, or you can hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. On Twitter, Taj Wilson tweeted, Strasburg, he is having a better season, and his playoff ERA and record is actually better than Max. At It Sports. It's Sports Life 1 tweeted, has to be Strasburg. He's the ace this year. George tweeted, my man George, what's up, George? I still think I'd like to have Sanchez so we can set up Strasburg, Scherzer, and Corbin for games 1, 2, and 3 in an NLDS if they make it. That's risky, George.
I mean, that's very risky in a one game playoff, man. Mm-hmm. You know, with Anibal Sanchez.
I like Sanchez though. I don't know if he can go. He won't go 7 though. That's my problem. I need somebody to go seven.
Yeah, he won't go 7.
Yeah, he won't go 7.
Because if Sanchez doesn't look well, then you're gonna have to go with Eric Fetty. You're gonna have to put the string together, Eric Fetty, mm-hmm. Joe Ross, those two guys to possibly get you through. You know, at least get you to the 6th or 7th inning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you. Sorry. So another starter, or used to be a starter, would you start first baseman Ryan Zimmerman in that one game playoff, or would you just have him on the bench? Plays good defense. Starting to hit well.
Plays good defense. I would start Zimmerman, and here's why.
Okay.
Zimmerman hasn't traditionally been a good hitter off of the bench. In case you need a pinch hitter,
mm-hmm.
But you have a guy that whether you're starting him or he's coming off the bench in Howie Kendrick, who is has been very good this year. So I would start Ryan Zimmerman. But if it's a close game where I need some offense, maybe you make the switch. Or you can make the switch with Howie Kendrick. Or, you have the opportunity to make a switch at the pitcher position, mm-hmm. and go with Howie Kendrick as your pinch hitter. So, but I like Zimmerman's defense on first base compared mm-hmm. to Kendrick and Matt Adams.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
On Twitter, Insane Smitty tweeted, yes, Howie is not a good fielder. He's too undersized at first. Tweeted again. Todd tweeted again. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I would say yes. He is their best defensive first baseman, and his bat is hot right now. On Facebook, Tony Snow posted, no, he can leave it already. Wow. That's crazy though, right? He can leave already? Like this is Ryan Zimmerman though, right?
It is Ryan Zimmerman, but he hasn't been the Ryan Zimmerman that we expected or wanted this year.
Yeah, I get it. But it's Ryan Zimmerman, he had a great year. It wasn't last year, the year before last.
Yeah,
it was an awesome year.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, injuries play a part, but I like the way he's hitting after coming off the injury list.
I do too. And like I said, one game playoff, defense is just as important.
Exactly. You don't want that key error to
You don't want that key error. I'm gonna be honest, if they get elite, let's say they go up 4-2.
Yeah.
Headed into the 7th.
You put Ryan in early.
I keep Ryan Zimmerman, and I may take Adam Eaton out and put in Michael A. Taylor.
Yeah. You want to make sure everything's taken care of, especially when you're playing it. If you're going to that bullpen, you want to make sure you got the best defense out there.
Yeah, you want to make sure you have the best defenders out there. So I may take Adam Eaton out, and I may put Michael A. Taylor mm-hmm. in, or I may, I go with that.
Yeah. All right. We'll make our week 4 NFL picks after the break. You listen to Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
It's a beautiful day to get some money, and every day is another opportunity to touch the paper. So I pray you want to see a young man shine. If not, put your head in the hole, and put a hole in your head, you know? Tell me right now, what you want to do? 20 billboards in the city, who the f*** is you? I look a little familiar, huh? Look at you. Look at it.
Look at it. Yo.
Tell me right now what you want to do. 20 billboards in the city. Who the fuck is you? I DM all of you. 20 men to move. Quick to blow 100 keys. Yeah, that boy fool. Yeah, that boy fool. Yeah, that boy fool. Yeah, that boy fool. Oh, God. Yeah, that boy fool.
Don't know my... So I squeeze him in the coop. Fascinated with a fortune and it came true. I may pass you in a Porsche with the brains blue. Got your toe wet, I'm stepping down in rain boots. Thought it was Obama where I came through. I'm talking different commas from them lame dudes. I'm printing paper, boy, I even wrote a book. I got 10 million cash, what you wanna look? I gotta have a kilo in my Monte Carlo.
We're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Team Darkness, Will T, myself, Wally, Ray Jeezy's out. Make sure you check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. We have a weekly battle of NFL pick'em games with them. Here's what we did in week 3. I went 12-4, had a good week. Ray went 10-6, and Will T, the homie, went 8-8.
I got you guys just where I want.
I know, man.
That's, everybody doubt.
Yeah. Who doubt? I ain't doubting you. I just said you
I'm
8-8.
Like a phoenix. I rise up from the depths, and I just go to the top.
I feel you, bro. You got it. You like ghosts, man. People think you don't got it. You right there, ready.
I'm back.
You back again, bro. Baby. Here are our overall records. Ray is 30-17. I'm 29-18. Will T is 25-22.
Right where I want to be.
Here are the records from the Football Garbage Time Mob. Scott is 33-14. Joanne is 32-15. Ryan is 31-16. And Hakun Wong is 27-20. The homie George, man, is doing well in the league. I think he's like second place. George is 34-13.
He probably listened to my picks and.
Yo, why you keep saying that crap?
It's all good, George.
You think George is using you?
I think he's using me, man.
You know, George homie, man. He likes to reference you a lot in terms of the way
homie.
You think. You know what I'm saying?
He's the homie, but I think he uses my picks sometimes.
All right, well here we go right now, man. We about to get these picks on. Eagles versus the Packers.
Packers.
I got the Packers. Titans versus the Falcons.
Before we start, did Ray?
He sent me. Okay. I got it. He's putting it as a screenshot.
Okay. All right. I'm going with the Falcons.
Going with the Falcons too. Patriots. Excuse me. Right? Yeah. Excuse me. Redskins. Giants.
I'm going with the Reds.
Where did you Washington. Redskins? You said yeah. Washington. Washington. Yeah. I'm sorry. Washington. Chargers versus the. I'm going with the Skins too. I said it earlier. Chargers versus the Dolphins.
Chargers.
Yeah, Chargers. But who knows, man? They lose some games that you don't. That makes no sense. Raiders versus the Colts.
Colts,
yeah, definitely. Panthers, Texans. This is going to be a tough one.
I'm going with the Texans.
Yeah, I'm going with the Texans too, man. I love my man, Deshaun Watson. Chiefs versus the Lions.
Give me the.
What? Chiefs versus the Lions? What are you hesitating for? Chiefs versus the Lions?
The Lions defense has been looking pretty solid.
Yeah, they ain't playing against Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
I'm going with the Chiefs. Browns versus the Ravens.
I'm going to go with the Ravens.
I'm going to Ravens. Patriots versus the Bills.
Give me the Bills.
Yeah. Give me the Patriots. Okay, Will T. Buccaneers versus the Rams.
Gonna go with the Rams.
Yeah, I got the Rams. Seahawks versus the Cardinals.
Seahawks.
Yeah, Seahawks as well. Vikings versus the Bears in Chicago.
I'm going with the Vikings.
I got the Vikings as well. Jaguars versus the Broncos at Denver.
I'm gonna go with the Jaguars.
I got Jaguars as well. Cowboys versus the Saints in New Orleans.
I'm gonna go with the Cowboys.
I'm going with the Saints. Bengals versus the Steelers in Pittsburgh.
Steelers.
I got the Steelers as well. And I'm about to read off Ray's picks right now. All right, Ray has. Ray got in the fine print. I got to, use magnifying glasses. All right, he has the Packers. Ray has Atlanta, of course. He has New England, Kansas City, the Colts, the Chargers, the Giants, the Ravens, the Panthers, okay, the Rams, the Seahawks, the Bears, the Broncos, the Saints, and the Steelers. Ray got some. He has some upset picks. I'll give them to him.
Yep.
He got a little something. How's your fantasy football team doing, man?
Not good, man.
1-2. You 1-2? I'm 2-1 right now, man. You know.
But I do have the second highest points in our league.
That's cool. Man, no, that's great, bro. So you must have had a really good week then. You was playing against somebody really.
I played against We Fly High.
And oh, he had Mike. Him. You fought Mike. Oh.
And he had the Bears defense.
So okay, the Bears defense.
I lost by like .33.
Oh, he had a lucky. Like, oh, he got a lucky. Oh, he had the last minute joint.
Yeah.
It's all good, man. Don't worry about it, bruh. You know what I'm saying? I got him this week. I'm gonna make short work of we fly high. I'm gonna rep the Urban Sports thing for this one. All right, dude.
I appreciate it.
I got you, man. I will avenge my darkness's brother and night and African friends. Anna.
I'm American, man.
I told you, behold.
I'm American.
Don't worry.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You're right. Trump ain't going to ship you out. You good. All right. Oh, man. Could Porter shock the world and beat Spence Saturday? We'll discuss that after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Come on, man. And with the local DBC news, Devin Cooje with the Twins has come back.
But tonight,
don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years, I'm rocking my pants. What's up with the fear? Making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom, explosion. Overpowering, over the competition. I'm towering, wreck his shop. When I drop these lyrics that'll make you call the cops. Don't you dare stare, you better move. Don't ever compare me to the rest that are all get sliced and diced. Competition paying the price.
Listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, myself Wally, aka Team Darkness. Ray Jeezy's out Saturday. IBF welterweight champ Earl the True Spence Jr. takes on WBC welterweight champ Showtime Sean Porter. Is this fight perfect for Spence? Is it like the ideal matchup?
I'm not going to say ideal. Sean Porter, his style can make for a ugly fight.
Mm-hmm.
But a guy like Errol Spence, who is good pivoting, like, you know, making fighters change direction,
mm-hmm.
and then countering, makes it for a far more interesting fight, mm-hmm. than, you know, what we've seen in the past for a Sean Porter fight. Because, you know, Sean Porter likes to fight on the inside. He likes to grab a lot,
yeah.
likes to wrestle. And sometimes, you know, the pace of the fight, it gets ugly.
Yeah.
With a guy like Errol Spence, who's a taller fighter, a natural welterweight, is going to make it a little bit more difficult for them to do those things. And then also Errol Spence's just pure technical ability is going to make this a interesting fight. But I do think ultimately Errol Spence pulls it out.
I look at the reason why I think it's a perfect fight for Errol Spence is that when I look at, you know, like you mentioned, Porter likes to crowd you. Errol Spence is such a great body puncher, man. It's like you're going to get in the phone booth with Errol Spence that close, and you're going to have your body open for what he likes to do. You know, a lot of people, you know, they like going for the kill shot, right? They like to go to the head kill shot. But pause. But then you got Errol Spence. Errol Spence is the type of dude who wants to break you down. He wants to break you. So if Porter is going to have that body open, man, I think Spence is going to take advantage of that. If he's going to be in the phone booth with him. And that's why I'm like, you know, somebody who may want to stay outside has a better chance than somebody's going to try to crowd him and try to take space away from him. Because like you mentioned, Will T, he can pivot and make space in that small phone booth. Excuse me.
You know what I just looked at?
What? What's up?
You know how much the fight's going to be?
How much?
Order the fight for just $74.99.
$74?
Yes.
Dang. Mayweather was like what? What was Mayweather fight? Mayweather Pacquiao fight.
I didn't pay for that.
I'm telling you to go watch the fight. I know
that. It was like almost $100.
Yeah, we know I'll pay. We already know this.
Nah, look, cause you know, like me and you, we discussed, yeah. You know, like you may have a prior obligation.
Yeah.
And I asked you, did you want to go, watch the fight?
Yeah.
But you said you don't know, and you'll get back to me. And I was gonna, you know, if I don't go out and watch it with you, then I'm gonna just order it at home.
Yeah.
But for $74.99,
hell no.
Hell nah, man. You guys
be a pirate.
I love the sport of boxing. Yeah. I support the sport of boxing. But when you do things like, it's a good card, right?
Yeah, it's Benavidez on that card.
You got Jose Zito Lopez. Uh-huh. Benavidez versus Anthony Durrell, which will be the co-feature fight.
Yeah.
So look,
it's a good fight. It's a good card.
It's a quality card.
Yeah, it is.
It's a quality card.
Yeah,
but listen, man, $74.99 plus tax that Verizon's going to hit me on, man. And my cable bill is already
kind of up there, right?
It's already up there, man. You know, I love boxing. I want to support the sport. But you know,
so it is what it is.
Al Heyman, this may be a fight that I have to pirate off the internet, my brother. It is nothing against the quality of the card. It's just that look, $74.99, man. Come on, man. Like I really don't like to go.
No, you don't. You like really?
I prefer to watch my boxing at home.
You do, yeah, it's true.
But for $74.99, man, I might have to find some place that has it for free, or you know,
or like the little cheap cover, like the $5 cover.
Yeah. I just can't.
My man was like, nah. He's like, you see what the cost of this is?
Yeah, $74. Come on, man. You can at least do like 50, 55, and then you know what. You know, high definition, like, you know, 65.
But like really?
$74.99? Come on, man. I know these brothers got to get paid, but.
Jeez, man.
Yeah, with this type of, this type of pay-per-view model, man, like this pay-per-view model isn't going to last for long. You already see, DAZN getting in the game, $20 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And you know ESPN, they do their pay-per-view. They have some fights that's pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
But come on, man, $74.99. Jesus.
So, do you think Porter has a legitimate shot of the upset? And if so,
anything can happen in boxing on any night, man. Okay. Sean Porter's a guy who's shown excellent power. He's shown excellent speed.
Mm-hmm.
He's a huskier.
Yeah.
Welterweight.
Mm-hmm.
So anything can happen. I'm not going to sit here and say no.
Yeah.
But the likelihood of it happen isn't that high to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think Errol Spence wins this one 8-4.
Eight rounds? Does it go 12?
I think it goes 12. And I think Errol Spence wins this one 8-4 and probably knocks down Sean Porter somewhere in the between the sixth and eighth round.
See, I'm going bold, man. I think that Earl gets him in eighth. I think he stops him in eight. I think he breaks him down though. He breaks him down early though. He breaks him down early to a point. Then Sean eight. You know what? I think eight a little early. I'm gonna go 10. He breaks him down. He gets him in ten. Like he just. It's gonna be too much for him. It won't even get to the championship round because I don't think he'll last. He'll last that point to last that far. But in terms of having a legitimate shot at the upset, we posed a question on Facebook and Twitter. On Twitter, at DC Sports Addict tweeted, absolutely, if Sean Porter sticks to his own style and not try to outspend Spence, he has a legit shot.
Yeah, look, but that's going to be hard to do because a guy like Errol Spence, like I said, who's great at redirecting fighters and then countering, is, you know, when Sean Porter, when he fights on the inside or when he rushes guys, but, you know, once he sets it up to either jab and then get, you know, come to the inside and fight on the inside and get and hold you, Errol Spence is a stronger guy. He's not going to allow that to happen. Plus, Errol Spence is going to do a great job of pivoting and making Sean Porter redirect every time he tries that. So,
at TLive1 tweeted, Spence going to run through Porter. I'm just waiting for the Spence-Crawford fight. I want to be there for that. Spence is my guy now since Mayweather is out of the game.
You keep waiting on that one. That fight is not going to happen anytime soon.
Damn.
By anytime soon, I mean within the next 2 years.
Oh, wow. All right, at POV Mason Sports tweeted, no, not a chance. Spence is too skilled and talented for him. We was like, I agree.
I agree with it, but, you know, in boxing, anything can happen.
Yeah,
you know?
You're right.
We've seen it time and time again.
Anthony Joshua, it is what it is.
Anthony Joshua, you saw how that turned out.
Yeah, exactly. I think that Spence should be a sure thing, but at the same time, you never know. You get caught with one or two, it changes the whole look of a fight, man.
Yep.
All right, so your prediction, we have made our prediction. So make sure, hey, it was a great show.
Yes, it was.
It was an amazing show. We did Team Darkness, man. We always
Team Darkness, but I miss Ray.
Yeah, light-skinned brethren. He brings light and sunshine to Ray.
He brings sunshine to the show.
Exactly. Sunshine
and a bright perspective.
Exactly, man. Light brights are always cool, man. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Appreciate you all for listening. Hey, well, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene
for ages.
You did?
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.